T-O-T-D-I-S. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W-A-W.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
At ADDF. Well, good morning. Where are you? I'm actually on time today. Where the hell am I? 37-ish and 53, so 28 minutes. Groovy, I think we'll be passing, I'll be passing your shop exactly when you get there. So, good for a handoff. I have to make a very brief pit stop at a pharmacy or Meijer or something because I'm an idiot and forgot to put on deodorant, but that should not delay me more than a couple minutes. Not a problem. All right, cool. Yeah, yesterday I played hooky, so I wasn't on the road for drive time. Yeah, I think it was just Joe and Anthony and I yesterday morning. And then I talked to Rick a bit on the way home and Anthony again. So I think I'm playing, not hooky, but I'm dipping out early today. My son and my wife have a, mother-son dance tonight. So I'm going to get out a little early so we can go take pictures and do all that stuff. So. Mommy, son dance, where the heck's that? He's, what grade's he in? He's in pre-K. Yeah, I was gonna say, they're already starting that stuff? Wow, alright. You know, it's adorable, like I've gone to two with my daughter, but my She doesn't enjoy loud noises or crowds, so we were there for, like, collectively between the 2 years, maybe 15, 20 minutes. You know, we go in, she grabs a cookie, and she goes, I want to go home. I'm like, why did we even do this? So I think they're a little young still to be doing it, but whatever. The picture's worth it. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's typically, you know, when they're a little older. Particularly daddy-daughter, you know, the daddy-daughter dance at, when they're like 5 or 6 or 7, those are really what it's all about. The only thing I guess I would be worried about is that, you know, you're overdoing it, so by the time you get to those, which are really special for everybody, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's just like, oh, we're doing that again. Yeah, so, I don't know, you know, the kids, it sounds great to the kids, and then they get there, and then they're like, I don't know about all this, so I agree. I would rather them do it when they're a little older and not have these, you know, memories of, oh, I didn't really enjoy that, and then they not want to do it when they actually know what the hell is going on. And not to mention, it's a new wardrobe every time we've got to do it. You know, I had to buy my son cowboy boots, new flannel. You know, it's not the end of the world, right? It's not like you can't ever wear it again, but they got to get new clothes every time they do it because there's always a theme. Yep. You know, it's one of those things where if they're doing it, well, then you got to do it, right? How do you not, right? You can't sit this one out. I mean, I guess you could, but, you know, then it's like, oh, you know, it's They shouldn't even be doing it, you know. Because if they're doing it, you gotta kind of gotta go. I don't know. It is a bit much. But yeah, everybody's doing it now. It's like, oh, we got a good thing. Let's ruin it. Anyhow, I'm sure they'll love the pictures. So I don't know at what point would be the optimum age for that, but there's going to be a time where the daddy-daughter dance in particular is going to be, you know, really special. I'm guessing somewhere in that 7 to 10 stretch. WARCY. Good morning, Donald and Sean. That's just today's society in a nutshell. Let's take something good, and let's do it in excess, and let's ruin it. And I think when they're a little older and they actually get, you know, the point of it, they'll appreciate it more. They do this at 6:30, like 6:30 to 8. My daughter's 5. She'll be 6 this month, but it's just like, you know, I put him to bed at 7:30. Go ahead, Donald.
Good morning, Dakota. Good morning, Sean. Daddy-daughter dances. Well, my daughters were, I was divorced when my daughters were 7 and 3 and a half. And the 3 and a half one, as some of you know, is not legitimately mine. But my 7-year-old is very tall now. I'm 6'1", and she's a little bit taller than me. But at 7, before she even hit the growth spur, you could see there's going to be height in her. And the daddy-daughter dance for me was easy on my back and not having to, you know, bend over and try to dance with a, you know, a much smaller child. But, it's a memory I have because I'm divorced out. And, I remember her high school graduation, graduation from medical school and everything like that. So that goes right up there with me, especially the fact that I'm divorced out. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just leaving a little pause in there in case somebody else wanted to jump in. But good morning, Donald. And that's kind of what I remember about then. Although my daughter wasn't tall, she's short like me. So your daughter's taller than you. Wow, that's something. When it comes back around, was your ex-wife tall? Anyhow, Dakota.
Yeah, that was a tall girl. My poor kids. I don't think they're gonna get any sort of. Well, they might. My one son. My father-in-law is about 6 foot, so we'll see what happens there, because he's built just like him. It's like my head on a tall, skinny body, which is not who I am. The other two are built just like me, stocky little things, so feel bad for him. Go ahead, Donald.
Again, I'm 6'1", and my dad's side of the family, we're all heavy set. So my oldest daughter has pretty much my dad's structure. She's a heavy girl, not obese, just a large bone-structured girl. Now, my illegitimate daughter is taller than her. She's almost like almost 6'3", but my ex-wife's lover was like 6'6". And, between that and my ex-wife, I think Sean asked me how tall my ex-wife was. She was 5'10". Just the structure of the two girls, mine versus the other one, are uniquely different in themselves. Jennifer, my daughter, hit her growth spurt early, and Jessica, the one that is not mine, hit her growth spurt later on in life. So when Jennifer was like in fifth grade, 10 years of age, going through all that, she was much taller than a lot of kids in school. She could almost play like an elementary school basketball team if she wanted to. But then again, she was picked on a little bit because of her height. But then again, she also knew how to defend herself. I taught her a thing or two just in case. But, struggles of being a parent, on top of that being a, a single parent, divorced, that whole scenario. Wasn't pretty, but we all got through it.
Well, Roger, yeah, it's a weird thing. Got a lot of families broken up like that. It's very difficult to, you know, because usually somebody was wronged. You know, so they always say, well, you know, keep things civil for the kids, you know, and all that stuff. And that's true. You got to do that, but it can be very difficult for the wronged party. You know, yeah, easy for you to say, you're the one that, you know, did something to me, but, you know, but I'm supposed to, you know, keep it civil, you know. And you have to for the kids, but only one's really, you know, really making the sacrifice there, the one that was wronged. Ah, well, I did not suffer that, so, you know, but I know many, many people that did. It's very difficult to, keep it civil. Let's see here. I got Dakota. I got your wife's workplace on my left here, so that's where I'm at. Well, bam, she's already there. I could have just gave it to her, and he could have grabbed it out of the truck. I just pulled into Kroger at 30 Mile Road here, so I'm gonna run in real quick, grab a stick of deodorant, and run back out. Roger. Go ahead.
Yeah, that subject. Yeah, it's not easy for anybody. There's no winners in anything like this, and especially when the kids were as young as they were. And I don't even know what truth has been told, you know, from the ex and so on and so forth. So, but, I mean, I've done my best to move on from it, and I have zero contact with the youngest of the two girls because of what I know. And my oldest daughter in Vegas, again, being a doctor, a surgeon, she travels. She's in high demand. She's been here to Michigan to Mott's Children's Hospital a few times. And, you know, I hear stories from her saying, yeah, I was in Ann Arbor for 3 days, and that was it. And I, you know, I'm sorry I just didn't call to say hi, but, you know, it was, she's just, like, on the go. But she's in high demand for what she does. The bright side about all of this is that the fact is she's highly successful. My ex-wife and I are, we just kind of look at each other and just, like, we created this doctor monster that's in high demand. Like, what went wrong there? But, you know, that's the bright side for my marriage, and that's about the last I'm going to say of it. We're both very proud of her. Both our families are proud of her, extended families, so on and so forth. So, Sean, over to you.
Yep. It really is about the kids when there's a breakup, so... It's very difficult, like I said. I appreciate what, you know, based on what you told me, I think you're the one that has to make the major concessions in that. So, good for you. It's hard to look past things. Anyhow, down in the ditch here on 59 where it rolls through Utica. So, let me know if, I'm sure Dakota's inside. I'm deliberately talking a little long here because I want to see if my signal gets noisy, like right here going under mound. But let me know if my signal is a little noisy or bacon fry or something like that, and I'm going underneath the barrel. So this is as bad as it gets right here. How? Copy.
In all honesty, I am on my whoops on, whoops off, talking through my node, and if you didn't tell me where you were or what was going on, I would have just thought you were in normal traffic, and most likely maybe even on Metro Parkway instead of M59. Your signal's, you know, just fantastic, and there's a little crackling in there, maybe a little break and fry, but I mean, it's nothing that disturbs the audio, which is quite impressive, to say the least. Go ahead.
I'm back.
That was quick. All right, it should be okay. I was having a little trouble there, but I think that was an antenna issue that was identified. So I'm back up on the surface now. Anywho, Dakota, did you get your stinky stick?
I got my stinky stick. I think I was in and out in under 2 minutes, and I'm getting back on the highway, so I don't think I delayed a whole lot here.
Yay, got a stinky stick. A couple of days ago, Sean, I was talking, and I had moved my stuff around where my desk was because of the ceiling buckling and getting wet. So I moved everything out of the way, and I had a buzzing sound or a humming sound on my radios and talking through my node. And I came to realize that I moved my node, and I put it like 18 inches, if that, from my Wi-Fi box on my other end of my coffee table there. Not my coffee table, but my end table there to the love seat. So they were like side by side with each other, and I was getting this nasty buzz or hum. And I figured that's what it's got to be, because that's the only thing that moved when I moved the furniture around. But I moved now my notes in my bedroom, and the Wi-Fi box is still out here in the living room, and that hum and buzz that was there seems to have gone. If you hear it, I'd be surprised, because it's, you know, there's greater distance now between the two than when they were both in the living room originally.
Nope. Crystal clear, no artifacts, but that's the nice thing about the node. You can put it anywhere in the house, you know. You can get some separation from the other electronics, and they do every now and again. They'll pick up a little buzzing. So if you found a spot where it's clean, then you're golden. So how far have you gotten with that thing when it comes back around? Because, you know, with that thing being 8 stories up, you got it in on that window ledge. I wonder what kind of range you get out of that sucker when it comes back around. Oh, let's see, Dakota, I gotta find me a coffee. That one I did yesterday was a royal pain.
I still swear by my clear note. I don't use it nearly enough, but when I want to, it just always works, and it's like one of those pieces of technology or just kit in general where you just appreciate its simplicity and reliability, because, you know, things like that are far and few between nowadays. And, you know, we did that range test on the antenna at my house, 10 miles on a half-watt clear note. It's pretty unreal. That's why I'm super excited to get this pseudo repeater high profile node back on the air. Phil said it sounded awesome. Granted, he's probably hearing ground wave from 3 feet away, but I think it's gonna be cool. And Phil said he's got a couple buddies that just got their ticket in our area too. There's Wyatt, there's some dudes in town, so I think it's actually gonna get quite a bit of use.
Yeah, there are quite a few new ham tickets out there besides just Wyatt. There's a person by the name of Sean, spelled with a U. But, it's like a floodgate of new tickets everywhere within the southeast Michigan area, and I'm talking all the way up to north of 69 out towards Flint and stuff. But as far as my node, when it sat in the living room, on my desk, I could only get to the north as far as the cozy cabin. But as far as the south, I never really tested it because I don't travel much south of 696 anymore unless I'm going cross town. And of course, I haven't done much traveling cross town since the construction. And, you know, Jo goes out that way a lot, but she's not, you know, a ham operator or with a node or anything, or a radio, excuse me, they can work the node. So to the south, I don't know. Once I get past all this stuff and I get back to working on my balcony and getting an antenna and things like that, I'm going to try to find some way of getting a better antenna if I can attach to the node where I can put an outside antenna on. But that's, like I said, everything's on delay right now because of this and a major financial hit that I took earlier this year. Start my new year off with a bang, so to speak. And, yeah, so a lot of things right now are currently on hold.
Well, there you go. Let's see here. How bad is the Starbucks? I don't know. Where are you at, Dakota? Looking at this line of the Starbucks.
It's coming up on 23 here. It says I'm 11 minutes away.
All right. I'm going to get in line here at Starbucks. Hopefully that doesn't screw things up too badly.
Ah, Starbucks. Yesterday, DoorDash, you know, Dakota, Sean knows about the Starbucks in my area. It's right across the street from my senior campus, practically right across the street. A whole 2.5 tenths of a mile, because sometimes it shows up at 2 tenths of a mile, sometimes it shows up at 3 tenths of a mile. I don't know how the building moves, but anyhow, yesterday they opened up nearly, well, they were open for pickup and you can go inside, but DoorDash was like an hour and a half behind. And my delivery was so screwed up, my order was like $30. I ordered a lot of stuff. And I was dissatisfied with the way the DoorDash driver mishandled my order so badly that I got it was about $15 in, like, between a coffee and a sandwich or whatever it was that was ordered for the other person. And I ended up getting a $25 refund on a $30 order. And the fact that the DoorDash was even, you know, just the worst I've ever experienced. But DoorDash gave me that much credit. That was quite impressive. No questions asked. I just, you know, showed them the pictures and wrote a nice little informative letter to DoorDash on the Internet. And boom, you know. 75% return or so, whatever it was. That's more than I asked for. So there was some good in that. Back to you when it comes around.
Well, I've never done it, so I don't know how that all works. And I just can't. I know, I realize that it works for you, obviously. And you know, it makes a lot of sense, but I just can't. I just jump in my car, even if I throw on sweatpants and slippers and go get it myself. I just can't warm up to it, you know. It's, I don't understand the fee structure, right? You know, it's like you got to tip, you're tipping the restaurant, but now you got this new component where you got to get a tip. So you got to tip the driver and the restaurant, plus there's a fee. Now, I understand sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But I'm just like, holy cow, by the time you add that all up, you know, it's crazy. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, and then I understand there's a rating system, so if you don't tip the driver well, then, you know, I don't know. I just don't like the whole, I don't like tip culture in general. I generally do it, and I generally do it really well, but because it is what it is, I hate tip culture. I really do. It leaves this stuff arbitrary, you know, and I over because I don't know what's appropriate and what's right. I want to be, you know, looked at as cheap. But, God, I hate tip culture. Dakota?
Connected to CMN Network.
That ain't DBS. I absolutely despise tip culture. There's very few things I think that should be tipped, and that's one, if you're serving me. Two, if you're delivering something to me. You know, DoorDash is the extent of what that means. Not my Amazon guy, not my UPS guy. That is your job. Do your job. No one tips me for fixing a computer. But there are certain things, you know, I'm like you, Sean. If I'm tipping someone and they took care of me, I'm going to take care of them. Like, I got my hair cut yesterday. I really like the barber I go to.
I tipped them $15 on a $25 haircut, which is probably just beyond excessive. But I know that when I call that dude and I say, I need a haircut, like I did yesterday, he took me as a walk-in and gave me a good haircut, and I was on my way. You know, it's certain things you kind of, if you're, like if you're a regular, right, you take care of the people that you see regularly. But I agree, this whole carry-out tip is the dumbest thing ever. Tropical Smoothie, we've talked about this, where they want a tip on me going in the store to pick up my smoothie that I placed the order online. So that in theory, or in reality, they did less work than if I went in and ordered through them because they didn't even have to put the order in. I'm not tipping you for making me a smoothie. That's your job.
I learned tip culture from my ex-wife and her sister, and the two of them were so good at what they did, waitressing and running restaurants. The old Sambo's, Seasons, and Silverman's restaurant chains are the three chains that they worked while I was married. And between the two of them, they could have opened up a restaurant of their own when, about the time I divorced between the Seasons and Silverman's years. Before they went to work for Silverman's, I said, why don't we just, like, start our own restaurant? You girls have the talent. I have the talent, you know, as far as, you know, food prep, food, you know, handling food, because my years of meat cutting, processing. We can get the best of the best of the people that we had amongst the restaurants locally in the area, and we can just start our own restaurant. We were actually going to start it at 11 Mile on DeQuinder, just where Ponderosa used to be prior after it was Silverman's, so Sean would know the area. Break. I had to take a sip of coffee there. But the whole DoorDash thing, yeah, I have mobility issues. I don't drive. I don't own a car, very little driving that I do. I can walk there in the summertime, and I probably will. But in conditions like it was this winter, I can't go outside. Now, the fees that I pay just like Amazon, a one-time subscription fee, which I just renewed 2 years or 2 days ago on the 11th. So I'm good for another year. Zero delivery fees. Service fees. These are hypothetical numbers, but let's say they charge me $6 in service fees, but because of me being an old fart, I only pay $2 in service fees, so my service fees are reduced 66%. And when you balance it out with a decent $5 tip, it almost breaks even to where I'm just paying for the food and the tax. And I try to keep it within that. And very rarely do I go over $5 on anything, but sometimes I get those DoorDash drivers that are phenomenal, polite. They text message you along the way saying, hey, I'm still sitting here waiting, or I'm stuck in traffic, or something like that. If they go the extra mile and I carry on a text message during the delivery, I give them a buck or two more.
So I guess the question I have is, okay, so you know, there's a service fee and there's a delivery fee. You know, I get it. You can get those waived or you can pay for a subscription and get those for free. But there's but if, let's say you didn't have any of it covered, you'd have a service fee, a delivery fee, a tip to the driver. What about a tip to the restaurant? Do you tip the restaurant at all? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's appropriate. I know some people don't tip on carryout at all, the driver being the exception. But, you know, what if you're used to, like I get low on a carryout, depending on how much trouble they had to put it together. But I still tip the restaurant. So you would have to do that as well. So, you know, that would be four things, right? You know, and you can eliminate any of them, but basically there's four things there. There's a service fee, a delivery tip, and a restaurant tip. Dakota?
I've never tipped the restaurant. If you compare the prices from, like, if you go in for pickup, they're always inflated. So that either goes to DoorDash or the restaurant. Either way, I don't care. I'm not paying more. I pay for DashPass because it gives me free delivery and it reduces the fees. So, you know, the $10 a month it costs, whatever, because it saves me countless trips out for lunch, which in my opinion is worth the money, just not having to navigate Hall Road.
And then I get, you know, there's a lot of times, too, where it actually, like, you do get good deals. Like, Eat Pie will do BOGO. So my buddy and I at work will order lunch. It's $18. And it's like, you can't, where can you get lunch for two people for $18? So, you know, sometimes it shakes out and you benefit from it like that. But, yeah, the prices are always inflated on DoorDash. I try to only order from, which most of them do, is $0 delivery. Over $12, you know, I can leave and spend $18, or I can DoorDash it and spend $22, is kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It sounds like Dakota's got some similar things there, where you pay the pass fee, one-time fee for the year, and you get free delivery on everything, but you still have that minimal order. I think it's like $12 for me on average, anywhere from 10 to 15. So let's use the number 12 for that. And Sean, we're talking about tipping. You know, I know how much you pay for your coffee. You know, I've been with you into going to Starbucks in the morning. And there's no tip with that, to tip the baristas or the lady at the window or any of that. So, you know, how do you do that? Majority of my life was, you know, in restaurants. Drive-thru was not that popular for me growing up. And tipping those kind of, you know, window people or anything else. So I don't have an answer to that. But I'm just going by tip culture and things I learned from my ex-wife and my ex-sister-in-law in the good time, back in my good days in my marriage and everything else and family. Those two girls, ladies now, grandmothers and grandparents and everything else, we've all aged a bit, but they did teach me about tipping, and we go to a restaurant like Mr. Paul's there on Grosbeck, was a family restaurant of ours, and, you know, back in the 80s, it was 15%, and you're in a place with liquor, it's 20%, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it's hard to get the numbers, but, yeah, I try to be as good as I can to my DoorDash drivers, and then my pizza delivery, which I could get through DoorDash. No, I have a good rapport with Marco's there next door to Starbucks, and I let them deliver to me, and that way I see the family, and We keep in touch because we have a bit of a personal bond over the last 2 years that I've been working with them. So, anyhow, Sean, over to you.
Well, half my problem with tip culture is the expectation, right? Tipping should be for when there's something out of the ordinary. And, you know, the ordinary should be, it should be worked into, and they should be paying the ordinary to their people. You know, like Dakota says, for what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, when you do Starbucks, there's tipping there. You know, there's an app. You don't generally do it at the window, though. You do it on the app, the same app you pay with. You do it there. And, you know, you pay, you know, they even have this thing where, oh, it'll give you up to, you know, you've got up to, like, 12 hours to, you know, include a tip. You know, so there's definitely a tip culture at the Starbucks window. But, you know, I've done it occasionally, but I don't do it on, it's not on the regular for me at all. Dakota, I am just turning onto Hall Road here. I stopped and got my coffee right here by, where am I, Hayes? I think I'm Hayes, so I don't know where you're at, but back on track.
I am in my parking spot, so I'll be here waiting.
C-A-W-O-J. Morning, Rick. We'll get you in there in a second. This is W8RCY. Yeah, one final note on the tip thing, though, is, yeah, I've never experienced window tipping or anything like that, but and I get it, and I understand your point, and you're also educating me on that to, you know, consider it. But overall, like I say, I've been around enough people in the business, in restaurants, high-end restaurants, Joe Muir's, Carl's Chop House, and stuff like that that my parents took me to as a kid, and I saw how much money my parents would leave, and so on and so forth. But also personal service. My ex-wife and her sister, I watched how they treated people. People would come into these restaurants. They knew everybody by name. Waitresses didn't call guys, you know, honey, babe, sweetie, or anything like that, especially regular customers. And you get people like that, and, you know, they're there with their families, and, you know, the one positive thing about those two women, they taught me a lot, because I watched how they treated their customers and customer service and never messed up orders majorly. You know, the two of them, they work a group of people the size of what we have at Saturday morning breakfasts. They knew everybody's name. They treated everybody with respect. Food was never messed up. They look at the food before they put it out, and they look at their tickets, and they say, hey, this is supposed to get an English muffin, not a bagel or something like that. You know, they knew how to do it, and I think staffers today in restaurants just don't have that, je ne sais quoi, I guess is the word, I don't know. But anyway, Rick, over to you, then Sean. Good morning, Rick.
Thank you, Donald, fellas, Sean, Dakota. Interesting conversation this morning there. Personally, I've been a single guy for most of my adult life. And on the way home from work, I usually passed about 100 restaurants a day, kind of thing. So I picked 3 or 4 of those kind of things, and stopped there every day. I spent my adult life eating in restaurants. And I consider waitresses God's gift to men. they would make the drive home and the workday just disappear. Good-looking young lady, smiling, whether she wanted to or not, bringing an endless cup of coffee, rushing over to grab your plate before it got cold on the thing and bring it over to you. It was... I appreciated the heck out of them, and I tipped them that way. And they treated me with the highest respect there. I always got the most fantastic service. Just for the measly couple of bucks, you know, a few bucks for the tip there. So, that's my take on it. I didn't do a lot of delivery stuff or any of that. I stopped and I got to gawk at them and talk to them and play around, flirt with them. They flirt back kind of thing. It was, like I say, God's gift to men. D-A-W-O-J. I'm not sure if it goes to Sean or Dakota.
Well, I'd have been next up, but I think Dakota checked out. Let's find out, then I'll just grab it back. Yeah, I was just waiting to clear out, so just did the handoff with Sean. I'm going to jump out, get in the office here, and I'll catch you guys this afternoon. Everyone have a good day. NADDF. All right, Dakota, yeah, I figured you'd want to get out before I gap. But anyhow, we'll see. I'll get this thing looked at today and see if I can drop it off before you head out. You said you wanted to head out early, so keep me apprised. Anywho, morning, Rick. And I was explaining earlier, I don't know how long you were listening, but not a fan of tip culture. I do it, and I think I do it fairly well, but doesn't make me a fan.
Dakota, if you still have an ear in there, have a good day, and all the best to you throughout the day. Yeah, like I say, I don't mean to be repetitive, but I looked at how, you know, 40 years ago, we're talking 40 years ago when my ex-wife and my sister-in-law were working the restaurant circuits compared to what, you know, things are now 40 years later. And Sean knows part of the reason why I don't join the breakfast is because of the issues I have with that restaurant and staff more than anything and above anything else. But it just, I used the ladies from my past as a model or as a guideline, a stepping stone, whatever you want to call it, and culture overall. And the tip, of course, is a part of it. You know, if I had the waitresses that I had 40 years ago today, I'd probably be tipping better than what I tip now. I mean, of course, there's, you know, cost and increase and everything else. I guess I'm just going to wrap up the subject by simply saying that for those two women in my past, they set the standard of how I tip today. And it covers everything from, you know, service, your orders, how they treat you. They know you by name if you're a regular and you're not called honey, sweetie, babe, or anything like that. I've come to this restaurant enough, you know my name, and get my order right. And it just got to the point for me that I can't do that anymore. And it's not just the one restaurant, it's any restaurant. If I'm a regular at a restaurant and they, you know, they still can't get my simple orders right, I'm done, and so on and so forth. So enough of that. Rick, over to you, sir.
Well, yep, Sean, and I understand. I don't like letting go of any money. But when I spend your life in the restaurants kind of thing, the tip, you know, waitresses, they get paid less than, you know, an hourly wage kind of thing, but the employer can prove a certain amount of tips per day, so that's deducted from their hourly wage kind of thing. So tips is really all I got. And for me, the waitress is basically the face of the restaurant kind of thing. The owners don't come out and talk to you. The cook doesn't come out and talk to you kind of thing. They don't do anything for you kind of thing. The waitresses are the restaurant kind of thing, in my opinion. Whether it's a good place or a bad place kind of thing. Although once in a while, when I've got exceptionally good cooking, I would tip the waitress and the cook. I would usually freak out the cook, and then I got really good food for a long time afterward. But in the long run, I think it worked out because I always got great service, smiles. I never ran out of coffee. Anything I asked for, they got immediately, not, okay, I'll get around to it kind of thing. It was it's just one of those expenses in life, you know. D-E-W-O-J, Sean?
Well, yeah, it's what they pay, you know, it's the, that's what I, you know, that's what makes, you know, the tip culture we have is the, you know, the fact that they don't pay the waitresses a fair wage. And that's how you end it, you know, start paying them a real wage. And, you know, that would kill it, but they don't do that. You know, the restaurants don't want to do that. And, you know, they could incorporate, you know, that into the cost of the food and, you know, eliminate in one swoop, but they just leave that to the, just leave that to the customers and the waitresses to figure out, and they don't have to deal with it. But so it is that fact that sets the whole thing in motion. And speaking of tipping the cooks, there's a little restaurant right here that's world renowned for their world. But it might be their corned beef sandwiches at Jimmy D's or something else. And but on their menu they have, I think, a buy the cooks a beer or something like that. It's like, you know, you can order that, and of course they don't bring anything, but it's a spot to, you know, buy the cooks a beer. And all right, I'm just pulling up here in my parking spot. I'm going to get inside, start my day. Good hearing everybody, and it's supposed to be pretty breezy today. So I see the flags are all shooting straight out, so there's a lot of wind picking those up, but it doesn't look like anything crazy yet. Donald, go ahead, pick it up. Rick, catch you later. WNF.
Sean, have a great day. Good conversation with Dakota as well. And, you know, Rick is a little late on that one. But Rick's input is always good to hear as well. I just am watching the news here, and they just showed the flag on top of the administration building there in downtown Mount Clemens, the new glass house building. And that thing is just straight as a razor in the wind. So don't blow away walking from your car to the door for sure, because your coffee's going to go flying if you don't have two hands on it. Catch up with you later for sure. And to wrap up the conversation about waitressing and restaurants and tipping and everything else, again, I hate to be repetitive, but the ex and her sister, my sister-in-law, they were the team, and they ran good restaurants. They, you know, like I said, this is 40 years ago in the 80s. You can even go as far back as in the 70s when I met my future ex-wife. It was people, society, everything, pride and stuff like that. That's all these things that were done back then where tips were different than what they were now. And I don't know if Sean's got an HT on him, but I remember my ex-wife was paid, I think, $2.80 an hour as a waitress when I met her, and she relied on tips much more. And I can't even think about what the or how that is all processed now with the higher hourly rates and percentages and so on and so forth. So the whole thing is just a cluster fudge of a mess. Rick, over to you, sir.
Yep, 7-3, Sean, if you're still listening. And the only problem I see with that, instead of just tipping waitresses, paying, the restaurant pays them a good wage, and that's the end of that, is that the bad waitresses make the same money as the good waitresses, which kind of take away the incentive for the good waitresses. With the tipping system, you can let them know if a waitress was really bad, I'd leave her a penny or two, a complete insult would tick her off, everybody laugh at her kind of thing, and I don't care if she thinks I'm an idiot or not kind of thing. It lets them know that I didn't appreciate you, that kind of meeting. If you want to make some money, you better straighten up kind of thing. But you can't do that if you're already paying the restaurant, because they're all getting the same money. I was going to say it's kind of like union folks. You get good workers and bad workers, but they all make the same wage. Enough of that. KDHWOJ. Donald, go ahead.
You bring up a valid point with that. The waitresses are bad, but also the waitresses themselves, they could be having a bad day, get up in the wrong side of the bed, or, not feeling well. I dealt with that with the two ladies that I discussed over the years. Again, we were all in our 20s, and 40 years ago, a lot can change in, well, over 40 years, really. You go back to 1978, but when it all started with me and the future ex and her sister. But times have changed, societies change, attitudes have changed. But if it gets down to the bottom line, just, good service, served with good food, like I said, we talk about the cooks and everything else. I mean, it takes a whole team to make it right, of course. But it's like it's snowing out in West Bloomfield, because on the news they're talking about this shooting out there. Live shots, it's actually snowing, and I just heard on my scanner that the wind is so bad that there's power lines arcing in the area of 11 Mile and John R., which I'm about a mile and a half from, I would say, to the south and west of where I live. So, I don't know what it's going to be like out there today, but I haven't heard from Tom, KEAKJO, yet, so I don't know what the roads are going to be like, if he's going to be on the road, for sure. Everybody else is gone, so it sounds like it's you and me, Rick.
I do have one comment about the eliminating the tips, and that's, we don't do it in any other industry, even service industries. If you get a, plumber comes to your house and fixes your pipes, you know, whether you get a good one or a bad one, you don't tip. We don't tip. And my industry is service related. You know, it's like we don't tip in any other service industry. So I get that. The way you deal with that is you just don't go to that place, and or you tell the owner, or you pay. That would be a real tip if somebody goes above and beyond, you know, and you decide to do something that's totally unexpected, you know. So I don't buy that. I get it. You know, they're both getting paid the same, but there'll be other ways for that feedback to, you know, to get back to the owner, and then they get fired, you know. So. I you'll never convince me tip culture is a good thing.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Good point, John. That's for sure. Another good point. There's so many different things to look at and so many different angles that this can be approached on. So, I mean, we could carry this on all day, but we all have things to do here. So, but I'm seeing now. I'm watching the weather on the news, and snow is everywhere. It's out in West Bloomfield. The traffic is. I'm watching traffic slowdowns. The crash out there, Orchard Lake and 696, has still got the freeway closed for the last couple of hours. And just before you jumped in, Sean, I mentioned to Rick about Tom. I wonder where Tom is today, if he's going to be out in this mess, because it looks like it's going to be bad everywhere. And like I said, there's power line issues already. I guess there's power lines down at the area of 11 and John R. So that's about it for now. I am going to wrap up because my coffee is getting cold, and it's homemade coffee, so I can get it reheated. And you know, I'm just drinking black pouring coffee today, so I'll let Rick finish up, and everybody have a great day. W8RCY.
Okay, 7-3 now, have a good one there, and we'll catch you later. Sean, I would not try to convince you of anything, except one thing maybe. You need to get out more, you need to work less, and shoot more. That's about the only thing I'd ever try and convince you. You get a good head on your shoulder, and you don't need my input on anything. But it is nasty over here. I just got in. When I got on the radio, I just got in from out feeding the cat there, and the wind was picking up. It just started to get nasty out. We're supposed to get some nasty weather here, and it looked like from the radar it's going to do it. So I am going to keep my old butt right here in the house. Furthest I'm going to get is out on the porch with my cigar after I have myself some breakfast. So you guys have yourself a great day, and we'll catch you later. KT8WOJ.
Well, Rick, I hope it didn't come across as, when I said you'll never convince me, I was just having fun with it. I hope you didn't take that to mean I was, disagreeable on it. Whatever. We beat this one to death, right? But, no, I get it. It is a valid point. And I got to thinking about it as well as you were saying it. And then I thought, you know, we don't do it anywhere else, and we have a way to make it work. So, but there's a valid point there. There's no question about that. So I didn't mean to, you know, sound so forceful about it. I do got to get to work here, though. I walked in the door and got on the Cisco phone here. So I'm going to focus on getting the day started here. W8FU.
Oh, no problem, young man. I didn't take any kind of offense or anything at all to it. I just, it's just our opinions, that's, you know. And what the heck, if we can't talk about them, what are we doing on the radio? But anyway, have yourself a great day there. And I always respect what you got to say. You're a pretty smart guy, and I always listen. Have yourself a good one. We'll catch you later. AE8WOJ.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8VD, W8VD, N8WRO.
W8VD.
Yeah, Wally, we got wind-related debris over here on the Low Plank Road just west of, on Armada Ridge, actually, west of Low Plank Road. Can you get on the VoIP line and have Dave give me a call on my cell?
Yeah, just a second.
Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, I got a text in to him. Oh, never mind. Here you go.
All right. Just advise him, assisting PD, closing down a road. We have a carport in the middle of the road just west of Low Plank on Armada Ridge. I just want to advise him, assisting.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8VD, N8WRO. W8VD, clear. I'm sorry, N8WRO, clear.
I'll be right back with you.
All right, copy.
N-A-W-R-O-W-A-P-D. Sorry, you still need me?
No, negative, Wally. I'm all set. Just want to thank you for the assist. I'm back in the shack again. Had a large carport structure blew in the road there, and I just want to let Dave know I was assisting there with traffic. But FD's got it out of the road. It's clear. They'll be opening the road soon. So, again, thanks for the assist.
Okay, yeah, I was on the phone for work. All right, I'll talk to you later.
N-A-W-R-O, clear as well.
What a revolting development this is.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, this is KPR. Good morning. Well, I hope you don't have to work today, or you're able to work from home, because it is a yucky, sloppy mess out here.
Yeah, I have a, still not working, but I do have a doctor's appointment, which I'm just heading off to now. Left early, so I don't have to rush.
Good. I will say this, traffic seems light, you know, for getting to rush hour or getting out of rush hour A on a Friday. It's not real traffic yet, is it? Anyway. What else has happened?
Well, besides the incidents of yesterday, that was very frightening. You know, I still belong to that temple, but we have lots, most of our family is there. So certainly a frightening situation.
Yes. Very unfortunate. I guess the good news is that nothing. There were no serious injuries, at least physical. The trauma and traumatization is a bad part. That's very hard. But glad nobody was
it works. Yeah, I'm very thankful for that. I have not heard any news this morning, so I don't know if they know any more about the perpetrator or what happened, but I will tune into that later today and see what's going on.
Yeah, I have not followed the news myself, I'm sure. Although I was dialing around shortwave last night for a few minutes, kind of on a whim. There was a news station. It wasn't super strong. I think it may have been one of the Florida stations connected with the broadcast company that's in Okeechobee. I don't remember the call letter, WMI something. Anyway, there was a short segment on that. It was developing news in Michigan, blah, blah, blah. So it's there. That was about all the news that I got on it.
W8RCY?
I
think it was Donald in there. I started to transmit, but go ahead.
Real quick, first, good morning, Phil. Good morning, Don. Phil, there's going to be a press conference in about 10 minutes on the news. Governor Whitmer will be speaking from West Bloomfield, and of course the authorities will have their updates as well. But it'll be a live news conference starting at 9:15. I've got Fox 2 on, and that's what I'm watching right now on my laptop. Just thought I'd give you that little bit of information. I'll let you gentlemen continue on. W8RCY.
All right, well, thanks for that info. I'll tune in on the radio here. I'm sure it'll be on WWG or whatever. So, all right, thanks for that info. I do want to find out what's going on. Anyways, so it's kind of funny last night. They were setting up to do a press conference at the Jewish Community Center, and I'm part of this West Bloomfield Cable Commission, and we have we do media and news and stuff like that, and one of our guys there, one of our producers, was at there, he's got press credentials and all that, and as they have on national Fox News, they have the shot of this waiting for the press conference. And we're looking, and also we see our guy walking across the camera. So it was kind of neat. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, cameo. Be sure that he'll be signing autographs later. Yeah. Well, thanks, Donald, for jumping in and letting us know. Yeah, I'm in the car for at least a little bit, so I may tune in as well. So the road is it's wet, except where the cars aren't. It's got some slush buildup here on the freeway. So as long as you don't move, you're fine. But if you try to do anything else, if you gotta merge or get over or whatever, then it's a harrowing moment. We should all be driving a little slower. That's what I think. But as I'm going south, it's getting, I think it's just slightly less cold. I think up near 59, it was just a little colder. Getting down here toward, in Detroit, toward Crookston, Big Beaver, and it's more wet than snow now.
Okay, well, there's a traffic light out on Telegraph. And all the other lights seem to be on. One light. This one's out too. Okay. A couple of the more minor lights, not the major traffic section, are out. Huh. But like I said, all the buildings have power. Odd.
A lot of power at our house flashed this morning. About, I'd say a little before 7 or a little after 7. Laying there. Hadn't got up yet. And all of a sudden it was eerily quiet for just a few seconds, and then we heard click, and, you know, beep from this direction and beep from that direction with various things turning back on. And it must have only been for several seconds, because my radio next to my, the clock radio next to my bed, you know, you can unplug it for about 5 or 6 seconds, and it'll keep time. And if it's longer than that, then you got to reset it. It's just a capacitor in there or something like that. And it was fine, you know, but the, you know, the microwave downstairs and all the other clocks and stuff, all reset. All the computers are off. But it was enough of a blip.
Okay, I'm trying to get through an intersection here where nobody seems to know what to do when the power's out. I don't know, it's supposed to be treated like a stop sign. And they're sitting there waiting for all this traffic. Okay, hold on, I gotta get through this. People are just not stopping. They're crazy. Alright. So, yeah, the roads are wet. I'm on Square Lake Road right now, and, are you on 75?
Yeah, I'm going down 75, coming up to Big Beaver. And, yeah, the further I go, it's just, it's less snow. At this point, it's just wet. You know, heavy wet.
Okay, yeah, I gotta take the camera out, but not quite so far. So, thanks for the report. I'll watch out for that. I don't know. People are gonna be looking at properties today. It's kind of miserable.
Yeah, that's what happens. You know, I've got the morning appointment Friday morning. My standing stepdad time, and then I've got an appointment at the office at noon, and then I've got a client showing in Royal Oak or Claflin, I think at 2:00, and I think that's just a single one, and then TBD after that. Looks like it's going to be a busy weekend, but today that's just the only outside appointment. KAPR, KABB.
Let's switch over to Warren here. Yeah, that's good. And then I'm planning on going down to Lido Swamp on Sunday, but the weather, I don't know, they're talking about a possible snow event over Saturday night and Sunday morning. Could hamper things.
Yeah, I saw your message on that, and I apologize for not responding. My response is maybe. I'd like to go. That's a good spot. I've been there taking stuff down and sold stuff, and it's not bad. Kind of one of those locations where, you know, it's just big enough because it can kind of pull from population areas, you know, Detroit area, Ann Arbor area, you know, Toledo area, you know, the western Cleveland area. So anyway. But I'm very TBD. If I'm able to make it, it will be a game time decision.
Yeah, I think it'll be, for me, it'll be a weather. So I'll have to wake up, see what the weather is, make that decision at that time. Because if it's a real mess, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I need to be going in the other direction. It was posted in the Slack last night, or not Slack, what is it, Discord? Somebody advertised a PW1 in Traverse City for $1,700. Looks great. Looks like it's in great condition. It's a relatively higher serial number, I think. So I think it's the version that has the power off pass through, where you don't have to have it on just to get a signal through it. Yeah, it's a good price. If I had a little more motivation and a little more pad in the fund, I'd call the guy up and figure out a way to drive up there this weekend, but yeah, good price.
Yeah, so, you know, I posted about the one I saw on Marketplace, and it was misleading. It's
said right under the title, it said, 1234, which sounds sufficient because that's just 1, 2, 3, 4. Then below, it said 25, but it said there's also some like clearing there, some like maybe he had reduced the price. But it turned out it was 25, not 1200.
Yeah, I think 25 is probably a bit much. I mean, even if it's, you know, got the box and everything and it's perfect. Yeah, that's, I don't know. It just seems like you can find them elsewhere relatively frequently, you know, multiple times a year for a lot less than that. So, wish them luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to have a PW2, I tell you. But that's not in the cards, eh? Unless I win the lottery.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the PW2 and see what it actually does. I mean, my understanding is it's still 1,000 watts, so it's not louder. I assume, therefore, that it's better, you know, interface or capability or, you know, I think it maybe supports two radios a little more smoothly than the PW1. You know, something you could do real-time switching or whatever, I don't know. But I'll have to look and see what the big issue is. Sure is nice looking.
Well, it's got that remote interface so you can operate it from a computer or the panel from anywhere, you know, which is still an issue. I would love to be able to operate mine remotely if I ever get in that situation, but really can't. Still trying to figure out how to interface my Yaesu to that thing so it'll switch bands properly, but I've not been able to do that.
I guess I don't know what language the Yaesu uses, you know, what their interface protocol is. So, yeah, there's got to be a device out there that'll do that. Yeah, I forgot about the remote ability. That makes sense. You can, it's just like an Ethernet cable or something that connects the head, so you can kind of put it anywhere, or can you put it into like a router and control it like really remotely?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm almost sure of it. Or they, I think they even have a computer program to run it off your PC. Yeah, that'd be nice. I just lost my train of thought. you were making a comment about the, I don't know. Hold on, I'll remember it in a second.
Well, I also recall that there's some operating mode that has an ultra clean signal, some pre-emphasis or pre-de-emphasis or something like that. But if you're running specifically the 7760 radio and then the PW2 amplifier. You know, I don't know if it's like Yaesu's Pure Class A, which is different, but, you know, it had some sort of an ultra-clean mode or something like that. That's the technology is kind of interesting for that. Hold on, I got to merge here. Sorry, buddy. But I read it and I went, okay, that's interesting, but I didn't comprehend exactly what was going on.
Yeah, okay. I remember what I was going to comment about the interface with the Yaesu. Yeah, the thing is, yeah, the ICOM uses CIV line there, and they do have a voltage thing on the back of the PW1, if you notice, if you looked at the schematic, it's a
It's a thing for switching bands via certain voltages, but that's designed for the antenna tuner, and it's just on the PW1, it's got two jacks, as you know, and it's just all on that line, all it does is pass through. It doesn't do anything in the amp. So the only way to switch bands in the amp is with the CIV line. And then Yaesu uses a kind of a binary thing, ABCD, different combinations of ABCD indicate what band it's on. And I remember somebody did make a converter, somebody in Russia, I think, and I tried it. It did not work properly. It would not work properly with the PW1 for some reason. Oh, it wouldn't work because of that issue with the passing. It was using that line, but it was passing through, and I guess the guy who did it didn't realize that. And there used to be a device, it's kind of ham-shack thing, I forgot what it was called, that had it, but the guy company's out of business, and I've never seen one of those units on the market. I would snap one up if I ever saw it.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with ICOM's, band voltage. You know, they got the one pin that they send, whatever band you're on, it's 1.5 volts, and the next band is 2 volts, the next band is 2.5 volts, and all that. So it's an easy way you could build a decoder. I didn't realize that the amplifier just passed through. I assumed like you, that the amplifier would look at it in some way. I do recall that when I interfaced the old ICOM 781 to the PW1, that it interfaced immediately. It was immediately talking to it, following bands, set the ALC, no problem. And when I hooked my 7700 up to it, I had difficulty. I had to go through the process a few times, and I don't remember if I had to, do a reset on the amplifier so it forgot that it was, that there was a radio interface for Radio 1, and then start the programming thing over again. And I recall reading somewhere else that someone had rewritten the interface instructions, that they basically said that what's in the PW1 manual is awful, and really this is the right way to do it, and there's either they left a step out or they made an assumption about something, and if you follow the manual instructions to the T, it may or may not work, but if you add his other step in, it will always work. And I could probably find it again if I tried. I might have it in the folder with all the documentation for the account.
Oh, yeah, I'd be interested in that. Yeah, please, when you get a chance. I would appreciate that. Well, I'm where I'm going here. If I can find a parking spot. So, catch you later. Be safe out there. KPV,
KPR. Too. Yeah, there's no snow down here now, so I'm just getting off at 10 Mile Road and almost where I need to be also. So. All right. I'll, if I think about it later over the weekend, I'll look for that info. Take care. KPR, KPV.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KAPP.
KAPY. KJO. KC8KJO. KC8KJO. NAPZR.
Connected to CMN Network.
K8RUH.
EB1.
What's going on?
Kids got a half day today, so I had to get him off the bus.
Ah, what's the weather doing up there right now?
Not too much, just overcast, 43. It snowed this morning, but that's all melted already. The wind was howling about 6 o'clock this morning. It's just probably 20 mile an hour straight. Just, steady wind.
Yep, same here. We didn't get enough snow that it covered the ground or melt, but it's 47 and windy here, so it's, we'll see. This morning, I'd say in between 6 and 8, it was howling. It was, I was surprised how windy it was.
Yeah, it doesn't seem too crazy windy right now, but it was quite, I think we got about a quarter inch of snow or so. It wasn't a lot, but it got warm enough quick where it just all melted.
Yeah, I think we're in for quite the weather pattern over the next 3-4 days throughout the entire state. Seeing some snow totals for northern Michigan, potential somewhere between 12 and 43 inches. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then I know down here on Sunday they're calling for 60 in rain. So it'll be a wild weather pattern.
Yeah, it's settled for figuring out if it wants to be winter or spring.
Yep, well, it sounds like we're going to get a combination of both. But, it'll be a fun one. Hopefully the wind dies down and don't have to deal with wind and possible snow.
Yep, joys of living in Michigan.
All right, I'm about to pull up to the house here. I just ran out to the barber shop and got a haircut. Now I got to get back into the home office and do some work. I will catch up with you soon. K8RUH. I'll be clear on your final.
Man, all that, and all they did was cut one hair. That's something. 7-3, you be it way.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8 Fox United.
W8 Uber. K8DB. What's happening? 888 Bouncy Bouncy. Heading out here, got a little jump. It's my daughter's birthday and we're going out to dinner, so I got plenty of time, but I want to get home and change and get ready for that. And I'm going to stop by Dakota's place and hand him my radio that I tweaked for him so it doesn't burn his house down. Other than that, not a whole lot. I think I got to wash clothes this weekend. Other than that, not a whole lot on the agenda.
Good. Well, congratulations. I don't know if congratulations is the right thing, but do enjoy birthday dinner tonight. That'll be nice. We've got a social engagement tonight, and I don't entirely know what it is, but I was told I must go. Okay. Also heading home, just leaving a client appointment. And, have a moderately busy weekend. We'll see. I know I got some stuff lined up for tomorrow, and then Sunday is TBD, but I think the Wisconsin QSO party, I think, is this weekend. A lot of contesters in the Society of Midwest Contesters, FMC. A lot of Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota guys. Those QSO parties tend to be very popular. So I might see if I can get on this weekend for a little bit. I don't recall what day or days it is or what hours, but that's about all I got, I think.
Well, I admire you guys with your enthusiasm. I watch it all the time. You in particular. I keep saying something I'm going to get around to. I'm going to age right out of interest. Story of my life. I get all ready to do the thing I never do. But damn it, I'm ready for it.
Well, you know, those things happen. So, kudos for tweaking a radio so Dakota does not burn his house down. What radio is a fire hazard? Was a fire hazard.
He's built up a small repeater for the network to run up there in that Dryden/Imlay, whatever area you call that. And it was running at like 38 watts, so it's a mobile 38 watts. And when it's on this network, you can cook an egg on the heat sink. So I pulled it and ran the power down, aligned it, and all that stuff, and got it down to 5. It doesn't need to be more than, you know, 5 watts or so. So it's got like a 5 watt and a 10 watt setting. And I should be able to keep that nice and cool. Probably still need a fan, but should be able to keep that nice and cool. And it should be more than enough power for his needs.
Oh, good. Yeah, I would think. I think 10 watts probably be about the max, but that sounds like what you're thinking too. Is it something that will be like, you know, on the air in that area, or you know, with a pair, or just kind of a simplex remote node type thing?
No, full duplex on a pair. You know, the idea is there's a bunch of guys up that way. Including, we're hoping that, you know, Wyatt can get in directly instead of, you know, having to get in and his buddy up that way, and then Dakota and a couple of his buddies and all that, and maybe it'll bridge that gap between Romeo and then you bounce over to the, I forget what machine on the MI1 network you'd get to next, but we'll see. You know, it's just a funky area up there because all the hills and everything like that. I think Dryden's just the other side of the hill. But it's a filler to cover that area to the north. But it will be a repeater pair on the network. So.
Groovy! Good for you guys for getting that together. I talked to Phil earlier. I know that we didn't talk about his repeater, but I know that he's still got wheels, gears turning or whatever on that end.
Was there a double in there? All right, maybe not. Yeah, so you know, we got the one site is sure thing, you know, the one up close, you know, more by Steve. And then, you know, I haven't really pushed or pursued the, I found out some things about the other sites to your, you know, more near you or to your east. Those are not dead, and I'll use those no matter what, whether it's for Phil or something else, if those manifest. But Phil would like to keep it, you know, in the township, and he looks like he's got something all but a done deal over there, and it actually makes the most sense. So that's where they're going with that. And so there's just some paperwork to be done, I guess, if for lack of better term.
Very good. Okay. I will not bug him about it. Boy, I better have HT coverage for my back patio, though, darn it all. Had that before. That was kind of cool. Very convenient for me, but I will make do what I have to make do.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely a goal. You know, you want to give everybody HD coverage, but, you know, you got to try to pick your sites, right? You know, the one that really bothers me is there's just nothing straight north. You know, that Macomb Township, Ray Township, northern, you know, even Shelby and, you know, and Washington and all that. There's just not a lot to latch on to up there, you know. There's no big buildings and, you know, not even a lot of towers, so very strange. Dakota, if you're listening, I am turning into your complex right now. I'm a few minutes ahead of schedule, but just FYI.
Well, I thought I could have my feet there in case Dakota might jump in. PSA, Woodward, completely blocked and closed. Along with everybody else, if the green lights and the red lights will allow us. I don't know what's going on up there. If there's trees down or lines down or what. Well, I assume you guys are transacting, so I will stand by. T8BB.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then. Well, we are still inching along here. Traffic jam and road closed. Sounds like you guys transacted.
He wasn't there. I ended up talking to one of his coworkers who was asking. He goes, man, he pointed to my work car with all the antennas. He goes, man, you got a CB in there? I said, no, but I got a lot of radios. And we talked for a minute. But I just had Dakota pop the door from his office, threw it on the passenger seat, locked it, and talked to the guy for a minute or two, and then back on the road. I think I'm going to stop at Tractor Supply and buy a couple of bags of corn for my deer. Other than that, to go home. I see there was a major wind tore the entire, you know how these gas stations have that big cover that goes over all the pumps. Looks like the Shell station right near my house took the whole damn thing off and threw it out on the intersection.
We had our power at the house flickered this morning, but it just flickered. It was off for 5 seconds or something. It came right back on, enough to reset all the clocks and turn off all the computers. Nothing quite like that. But again, Woodward is closed at, both directions of Woodward Avenue are closed at Long Lake Road, so something down there. So everybody is on
Long Lake Road going east or west, and we're just inching along, inching. Oh, well.
Slowly I turn, inch by inch. So, oh, on another note, you have a Path Labs. Which one do you got? I saw a 350. It was kind of piquing my interest the other day. And, you know, Class A for the first 100 watts, and then 350 after that, maybe.
That's a big one. So the one I have is an XA30.5. So it's pure Class A, 30 watts channel. Doubles down to 60 watts channel at 4 ohms, but then it has a ton of headroom. It'll move into AB, you know, above its Class A, and I think it's up to about 150 watts or something like that. I don't use. The needle barely moves. When you turn it on, the needle goes basically straight up. You know, and so you're in your Class A, and then if it moves above Class A into AB, the needle wiggles to the right, and it barely wiggles. But that's what I've got. 350 is a big amp.
Well, a guy that has a shop that, you know, sells that kind of equipment, you know, said he said this is the best deal I have right now in the shop, and it was I looked into it, and it's a past that 350, and so I looked it up online to try to see what he was talking about, and I'm like, ooh, that's neat, that's impressive, and that, and I think he's looking to get six out of it.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Is it an X350? Is that the one it is?
I'd have to look it up again. Why am I thinking P? I don't know. I'd have to look it up again.
Okay. Yeah, I think they've got a slightly different nomenclature for the more recent ones, the more current ones, but I don't recall what that is. Mine is a previous generation, so the XA, the 0.5 is what I have, the 0.8 is the current generation. Just some refinements, a little bigger power supply, but essentially it's the same or very similar amplifier. Those are nice. The 30.8 and the 60.8, which is just monoblocks. So it's the same amp, but in a mono configuration. That's kind of my holy grail, but for my room, that would be overkill, way overkill.
That ADDF. There he is. Got a radio sharing the ride home with you today.
I want to ride. Can I share, too? Can you share with me?
I didn't want to jump in and interrupt the amp discussion. I just want to jump in and say thank you for getting that done so quick. Oh, I think so quick is relative term, but understood. And, it's the B button on the front. They're programmable. The B one is high-low power. When the red light is on, you've selected low power. And that was 5, and when I was aligning it high, I could only get it down to 20, but then when I actually buttoned it all up and fired it up and tested it, it was reading 5 and 10, so that was kind of weird. I'm a little scratching my head a little bit about the high power setting, but 5, 5, 5, that's the low power, red light on, B button, et cetera, et cetera. So That's about right for what you want to do. That's about exactly where you want to be. With that, Fred, send it over to Don.
Yeah, it's me, WFSM Mobile. Got to go pick up my parents and head to a funeral viewing thing. It's wet out and cold. Go ahead, Don.
It is. Well, sorry to hear about the funeral. But good on you for going to get in there. And, yeah, Dakota, Sean shared with me what the setup was. So that was very good. Glad that you guys are doing that up in that area. I don't get up there ever, but if I am, I'll figure out what the pair is. But glad that that's coming together. Sean?
Roger. Well, I don't think it's any secret or anything, but instead of having to remember, it'd be easier to just lay it down in the Discord or something like that, but just a snapper pair. All right, I am at my stop here. I got to jump inside and pick up my corn for my pet, and I'll be back in a few. I'll be in a few. I keep forgetting that I need to post that pair in Discord, but I think, I mean, if we tested it, it was just going to burn my house down because it was at 38 watts, but now I think it's dialed in. I'll have it on the air when I get home, so it'll be ready to go. Footprint, I think, it's pretty killer. I tested it with the road, and I got 10 miles on the antenna that it's going to be hooked up to. That extra 4.5 watts is going to make all the difference.
You get a snapper, and you get a snapper. Everybody gets snappers, Don.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'll watch the Discord. I don't get up in that direction very often, but throw it in the memory. So if I'm battling through in here, I know where it is. That's good. 10 miles of coverage in that area. I imagine you're on some sort of a rise, in between the other hills that are blocking things.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty decent spot. I think I'm 980 elevation, and then I got 42-foot vertical up there, so it should be fine. I get into Richmond on one lot from my house, which is 18.5 miles, so I've got a feeling this is going to work pretty darn good.
Where are you speaking at?
Elmont.
Okay, now I know where that's at. I won't hit it from here. What snapper pair did you stick with it?
4.5 with a -5.
Alright, I did 4.42125, so.
Okay.
Never that we will ever have any RF issues, but yeah. Alright,
done. Okay, so that's a reverse on some of the others, but all good. Well, I'm going to sign out. I have got to run into one place before I get home, and I'm about there, so. We'll catch you guys. Stay warm and dry. It's supposed to be really yucky this weekend, and hopefully after that, it's less yucky. We'll catch you next time. Dakota, CACD.
Good talking to you, Don. It's been a minute. Have a good day. Stay warm, stay dry. And yeah, Fred, I don't think you're pretty damn north of me. I'd be blown away if we had RF issues.
Yeah, northwest, and I'm on the other side of the hill, so. My little snapper's not going to interfere with your little snapper. I know what I was going to notice one day, or I was going to mention one day when I heard you. The Book of Faith suggested we know somebody in common, a Mr. Anderson.
Audio Century Anderson?
Yes, Mr. Scott.
I go way back with Scott to about 10 years ago. Although I got a bone to pick with him. Next time you see him, tell him I'm pretty upset with him.
Oh, well, I might see him here shortly at the funeral home, so yeah. But, yeah, I talked to him Monday.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I like working with Scott. I actually,
I'm not actually upset with him. I kind of prefaced the last time I called him out that, you know, this is probably not going to go anywhere. But he never gave me my quote. But rightly so. I knew it was going to be a dead end, but he was kind enough to entertain me.
I just go around them and I do it myself, but that's just me.
Well, that's what ended up happening. I ended up teaching myself door access controls from 2004 and rewiring and reconfiguring a database and keeping it alive.
A passpoint system by chance?
It is a DSX system. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but at first it's god-awful, and then, you know, you nuke it and start over, and you're like, all right, I kind of get it now that I built it from scratch.
I still got one passpoint system going in one building, so, yeah. I figured, because, you know, they love the audio, loves the Ademcos, or the Honeywells, excuse me, so I figured... That's where, wonder that vintage United said 2004, because that was my passpoint vintage.
That wasn't a route I thought I'd ever end up going down, but it's still working, it's alive. Don't have to swap it yet, but that was what I called them out for. I don't want to fight to get rid of all of it. And you're like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, when I bought the house here, you know, almost 3 years ago now, I didn't want to move my Vista 20, so I said, this, and this. So I went and picked it up down at the shop at 13 Mile there. So my father retired there, so I've known them and his dad and all the whole family now for, 35 years.
Oh, yeah, so you guys go even further back. His dad, his father, was it his father-in-law that passed away recently? Not recently, but within the last 5 years?
His dad did.
Okay, it was his dad. All right. Oh, God, I said hi. Missed that, dude.
Yeah, one of our, it would have been... Mar passed, so he called me let me know Monday, and so I had to call my dad and tell him and all that, so I'm headed there to pick my dad up, my mom up, and we're going to take them down to the viewing, or take them down to the viewing down there, so he's going to be, I'm sure he'll be there, I just don't know what time, if he was going to come after work or what, but the other day, you know, Facebook suggests people, and it said, I know the Dakota guy, and he said we had, four friends in common, and I'm like, that's Anderson's photo.
It is a very, very small world, especially when you're in the world that we live in.
Nerds and electronics? Yeah, you get that.
Yeah, you know, you find people that are good, and you kind of just hang on to them, and then also find those same people, and then you start bumping elbows with them, you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy, but I guess I don't know if that's good or bad for our industry. There's a whole lot of good.
Yeah, because now we're definitely getting older, so. But, yeah, because they know me as Scott, because the family calls me Scott as well, so they know me as, he knows me as Scott, because that's that side of the thing. So they've always known me as Scott, or Scotty.
Connected to CMN Network.
Your cron job works.
Not a cron job, actually. It is actually using the legit logic
inside of after Pete to do the proper tail message logic. So it's not just firing off a cron job. I did have to do a lot of extra special writing to get it to push the tail message data out the network port, but that is using the actual tail message logic. So it only sends it every 25 minutes and only if the network is active.
Well, that sounds way more fancy than my silent cron job that just every 10 minutes makes sure it's connected to the FBI.
Yep, I didn't want it to, unless the repeater was at, I mean, anybody could, you know, fire a cron job up every half hour or whatever and have it safe. I mean, we've already got, like, top of the, at the top of the hour, at least not on the network side, but top of the hour, you know, the repeater is already saying, you know, time, temperature, and good morning or whatever. And then in the tail message, it puts, you know, WCMN repeater Flint or Fenton or whatever. But I wanted the network one to be an actual, not just fire something. There we go, sorry. I wanted it to the network to follow the actual, or the tail messages on the network side to follow the actual tail message logic. So if the network is idle, you don't hear anything. The network gets traffic, it follows at 25, I said it's 25 minutes, but it'll, and if somebody's keyed up, it won't key over them, and, you know, it waits till the network drops for a few seconds before it'll say it, so, yeah, I wanted that logic to follow, but I wanted it to also push it out the network, so it's not, not a standard cron job. It was about five, six hours of working the Astrip to do that one night.
You seen and not heard.
Hear this now.
I gotta stop eating this licorice.
Just ask Tom, he'll tell you.
Well, I'm not gonna spend that much time to do that, nor would I probably even be able to. I'm not a Asterisk guru. I don't even think I've got the time or any of that announcing on this little thing.
Turned all my IDs off. It gets old.
Yeah, you're 30 milliwatts.
Wow, do I don't disagree. It's pretty annoying, especially when I'm trying to talk and I just don't clear my phone to know what I need. That's how you do it. Make it. You want to be able to have a chance to get in.
Pulling on him.
I'm making sure I'm not keying on 40 people, but
hello, Sean. I think Sean's back now.
That was a triple. Double is not triple mix.
Yes, hello. I've left the feed store, and I got myself some licorice. I got to stop eating it, because I'm going to dinner. It's my daughter's birthday. Got to stop eating this damn licorice. I don't know what the rotation is. Let me see if I got it. Yeah, that gets me every time I go there, Sean. They got it conveniently right at the register.
Feed store. What do you got, chickens now?
I got deer, man. I like to feed my deer. Big, tasty chickens with antlers.
I'd like to see that happens in the city, so I got to get them eaten out of my hands so I can just take them with a knife. I'd like to see you scramble them eggs and eat them.
I didn't get eggs today. Because Michelle didn't have it. We were at Costco last night and she didn't say anything. So I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast, and I just pulled in and grabbed a bean burrito for lunch. My mom goes, well, I need tacos. You can have a taco when you get here. And I'm like, what type of tacos? Oh, yeah. It's Friday, isn't it?
Why is it up to Michelle? You could have looked in the refrigerator and seen there was no eggs. You're home all day. Yeah. That's what I thought. And then there's silence. Dakota? No fish tacos?
Poor guy.
They were not fish tacos
all over the highway.
He kind of realized that.
That's what I was going to say.
Fish tacos are damn good.
So, Dakota?
This rotation's all cattywampus. I just doubled again. I was going to say, fish tacos are delicious. I don't know if you can make them as good as when you get them out, though.
Sideways taco?
There's a shawl site at 17 and Mound. It's just a white pole, white monopole, and then at the top, they've, like, covered everything with a larger radome, if you will. So it's about twice the diameter of the white pole, and it's all white too. So the whole damn thing looks like a Q-tip, a great big Q-tip.
One of those two interwaves was a golden barrel.
Yeah, you see them on a model pole. Normally they're on smaller installs or roofs type thing. They're not roofs, but smaller portable mast type setups, sorry. And she made a shopping list, Jeff. She went through the fridge to figure all that out. So, yeah.
Why does my portable mast have a gangster lean?
Because the ladies like the mast with the lean.
But is it leaning to the left or to the right? There is a difference, I hear.
Yacht TV.
I guess it depends on which way you're looking at it.
Right, who's left?
Alright, I made sure I packed my stool for my mother so she can hop up into my truck, because I have to get my mom her little... I have a stool that I keep in the one back here. I made sure it was in the back so that my mother can step up into the truck here.
One must make sure that their stool is packed. Reminds me of that movie with Denzel and his Training Day, was it?
Ah, yes, the push-in scene in the bathtub. Hey, look at the flag in random, speaking of stool. Look at the little video that I found today in my perusing. In random.
I don't know, Jeff. Guys talk about packing stools and cruising. Jeez, geez. You know we're going to see him in a leather chaps and the... little leather captain's hat.
I am wearing a hat. Michelle shaved my head this morning, or well, before she went to work at noon, so I am wearing my FF hat on right now. My nice, warm FF hat is on.
I've always wanted a Massey Ferguson hat. Just the one with the big MF on the front. Dakota, keep your eyes closed. You're up there in corn country.
Oh, I'm sure those are readily available everywhere.
Hey, they're jamming on 675.
Just dialed it up. Listen to the festivities.
Friday the 13th.
As far as I'm concerned, they can do.
They can do everything but cuffing and doxing. Doxing and cuffing is off limits.
But then you're taking away the fun of all their 11-year fun.
Well, like I was saying in the Discord, we have other plans for those locations and antennas and everything anyhow, so they're just making it real easy to take those down and not worry about if they ever go back up.
I like that idea.
I support that motion. Aye. It does sound like the dudes talking right now, though, are pissed and trying to police it. So those guys, you know, first let me just say, they mix it up elsewhere. And the problem is that they don't then tend to, you know, bring it there. But there's a group of guys that follow them and bring it up there and mess with them all the time. And the ringleader on the other side, you know, the one that, you know, he says he's not doing it, but it's clearly their side. You know, that's, you know, it's like, why are we even doing this? You know, it's just not worth it. But, yeah, they try to run, you know, properly there, but, I'd say the only thing they're guilty of is just, you know, they do kind of, you know, poke at them a little bit. But, they don't do any of the bad stuff. You know, it's the other group is just laying for them. Told you this is the last time I have to wait till I'm driving it down to hopefully make it out. But, yeah, it just seems like there's always shenanigans over there. There's no etiquette.
Wait, we're supposed to have etiquette over here?
Yeah, Mount Clemens CMRS. It's the cesspool of radio. It is a shame, too, because that system was pretty kick-ass for a long time. And then it just turned into what it is now. 10-dollar Bofang and a $35 license. Literally no skin in the game. Why do they care? Yeah, that's a good point. There's no brain power to get into it. Just a little bit of money for cost entry. Not like we're over here with, a couple dollars in radios that we would like to use versus the machines being taken off the air. So you probably just move the digital eventually. It's too bad if it starts to, you know, these cheap go things. They're gonna probably have an effect here, too, at some point. You know, until they don't. But at that point, we'll probably just shut all the analog down and just go digital where we have at least some more. At least it takes a little more than a couple of functioning brain cells to get working. I would be in for, DMR in the area, for sure. I don't have any more DMR radios, but that's an easy pick. But yeah, you know, that'll stall for a little bit. You know, that might be the ticket, Mark. DMR is no block. And if these guys can really program a Bofang or they're buying DMRS, you know, HDs, that might be the move. Crap, I just realized I was on UMP. It does not work well where I was at. Oops.
I'm a mile from him right now. I'll tell him his repeater's crapped. He needs to get his checkbook back out.
I've been threatening to go look at that thing for some time now, yet I never do. It just works shockingly poor to the south and west. You know, it should work much better. And it works pretty well to the north. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's above the antenna. I just don't know. All right, gentlemen, I am pulling onto my street. You will not make it back around to me before I get home. I got to get inside and start figuring out how the rest of the evening is going to go. I got my daughter's birthday tonight, We got that. Catch everyone later. Be safe. Sorry about your loss, Fred. Tell your pops and mom and dad. Sorry, I don't know who it is, but sounds like you guys and Dakota have this person in common, so sorry all the way around. And we'll catch you guys later. WFU. Catch you later, Sean. And yeah, I'm going to clear as well. I am turning out of my street, so I'll probably be back out here in a little bit, though, once I get this repeater node thing working. That's going to be my priority once I get in the door. All right, NATDF.
Pulling into the UMP's house, WAFSM.
Holy moly, it's a trash can disaster. There's trash cans all over the street everywhere. Good grief. All right, I'm out. WAFSM. My antenna's still in the air. That's all I care about. NATDF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WABPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WDAKOL.
If you would, could you kindly repeat your call sign? I think it was WDAKLL. Good afternoon. My call is WARAT, and my name is Dave. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Dave. Yeah, you got it right, WDAKLL. Yeah, my name is Greg. Doing well. I'm up off the Flint repeater right now. How about yourself? Afternoon coming home after a long week. Been there, done that. I'm retired now, so every day is a Friday.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Could be better than a string of Mondays. what's your name? Is it ain't catch your name? And what kind of work did you retire from? To simplify what I do, I'll tell you in two words. Alarm installer. I do, card access and cameras as well, too. So, yeah, we're down in Coastal, Ohio, I think it was over towards the West Virginia border. So, boy, it was sure as windy, gusty winds coming up, got up about, I don't know, 10 miles from the Iowa border to Michigan, and the winds died down. It was very gusty, very, very gusty.
Okay, yeah, roger that. And the gust has been pretty windy here right now. It's actually snowing sideways, so it's quite windy. My name is Greg here, anyways, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, and I live up in the Burton area, up near Flint, roger.
Okay,
talking about this morning when we left over, and it was getting pretty heavy snowfall in northern Michigan. Well, I know that there's a lot of people there that are sure to go back for the tourism industry, you know, whether it be skiing or snowmobiling and such. My sister pretty much does it for, all weather, all year round, basically, but off-roading in her Jeep. So I'm going to get out there sometime and let her go a little wild, but probably won't be too bad as her driving on the road.
Yeah, roger that one. All right, my friend, we'll end the conversation here. I got to quit here, but nice talking with you. W8RAT, Whiskey 18, I'll be clear after you.
Connected to CMN Network.
Won't be too long till I get home, put my feet up, and maybe we'll yak at you later. And, well, I guess it won't be too much longer for the snow, but we're not out of the woods yet. We're still here in Michigan. Anyway, have a great afternoon, Greg. W8RIT.
NADDF, anyone copy?
I do.
5x9, Dakota.
All right, cool. Thank you both. Yeah, I had the CTCSS from and the carrier from backwards, or wrong, I should say. So I think I got it now.
All right, there you go. Groovy. Sounds good.
We'll run it. I got East Radio sitting on top of a 120-millimeter fan, so I think it should probably cool just fine. Not sure how those settings changed, honestly. I literally just unplugged stuff to bring you that radio.
All right, I just sent you an email. Yeah, you got to watch that little 16-pin, those little connectors, those little pins. They have a habit of pushing out when you reseat the connector. It's real common. And so you could have one of those that's just kind of like flaky. But if you said you changed something and it's working.
All right, I'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully I don't have to mess with it too much anymore. But I'm going to order you a rim light right now, too. I keep forgetting to do that. So I should hopefully have that. What? I'm assuming he's quick. Should have it next week. Or do you want me to just Venmo you money? What's easier?
I don't care. Whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter to me. If I need one, I can order one, I guess. But I don't really care. Whatever works for you. I do like having one around, though. But it really doesn't matter what way we accomplish that.
All right, that answers my question, and I'm more than happy to replace the equipment that you provided. So I will order one right now, and as soon as I get it, I'll let you know.
Absolutely no rush in that. I got no plans. I've got one for the next deployment. I've got one that's all ready to go. So that was for the next unplanned deployment.
All right, sounds good. I will get you one. I appreciate all your help on this. I think we're finally up and rolling here to where it's usable. I just touched the radio. It's not even warm, so I think we're in good shape here. I'll do some range tests this weekend and next week, and we'll see how it goes. But appreciate you coming back, appreciate you helping, and enjoy your dinner.
Yeah, that thing was cooking. I couldn't believe how hot that thing was going out. Like, holy smokes, I should have thought of that. Oops. But they're a royal pain to, I probably didn't because they're such a pain in the butt to adjust. But like I said, when the red light's on, it's 5. When it's off, it's either 10 or 20. The software told me 20, but what actually I was reading on the monitor said 10. So I'm saying it's 5 and 10, even though it told me it was set to 20. And when I was doing the testing, when I was in the test mode, it was showing 20. But then when I rebooted the thing and hooked it up, high as 10. So I don't know. Very weird. So it's either 5 and 10 or 5 and 20. 3 dB or 6 dB. Ain't going to make a whole bunch of difference. Both are cool. Holy moly.
Sean, was that bad on your end too, or was it just me?
Down in some sort of weird noise. Are you sure we don't have a flaky pin on that connector?
That wasn't me. That was another station. I wasn't sure if you heard that too.
Oh, okay. I thought it was you, but the audio was so bad, it made me out. I thought something happened to your note. Well, somebody keyed up in there, and you sound like Kaka.
Call it Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were clipping before. I don't know if I made it into James Township or not, but your audio was about 3 times louder than Sean, and you were actually clipping up here, so I'm not sure what was going on there.
Yeah, I'll concur. It's pretty hot. I didn't necessarily notice it was clipping, but it is pretty hot. You could afford to bring it down a notch or two.
So is that transmit level A or B?
You know, that probably A. If you want to know for sure, you know, take A down to zero and see if you lose audio. If you do, then you can take B to zero. Or if you go to zero and you still got audio, then leave it at zero and focus on B. I don't know which one for sure. It's probably A, but like I said, once you figure out which one it is, set the other one to zero and forget it.
All right, I adjusted A. Is this better?
I didn't hear a whole lot of change there. Direction, apparently. It is way too hot. I'm not sure if it's transmit or receive, but that is unacceptable. Jeff, you're worse in the opposite direction. Your signal is, your audio is almost non-existent. There's just a line in there with you. It's terrible. So it's like, one's like extremely, I don't know what happened, Dakota, but you just went from, you know, just a bit, you know, a bit loud, and you need to kick it back to whatever's going on now is just horrible. I can barely understand you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And while we're waiting, Jeff, I don't know what's going on with yours, but yours is terrible too. But you're like way pissed, Willy, in the way in the background. I can barely make you out, and there's a whining noise in there with you, and it's just all sorts of horrible. All right, Dakota, before you're not hitting it. Take your receive level down to like 100. Take transmit A and transmit B. Take them all down to 100. Make sure your RX boost is off. Come back and let's see where you're at. But set all three to 100. Receive level, transmit A, transmit B, and RX boost off. Because you're so far out of the ballpark, I can't even hear you.
Do I need to reboot Asterisk?
Shouldn't need to. That should be on the fly. You will have to write it before you commit, obviously, and back out of Simpletune. But you sound better now, but you're not great.
That's weird. It's when everything is set to 100, I'll bring it down further.
Before you do anything else, is RX boost on or off?
No, that's my problem. Hold on. All right, how about now?
All right, a lot closer. So leave RX boost off. Now, receive level, you know how to do the VU meter thing, set receive level. Talk on that. Make sure it doesn't go over 5. You can let it just hit, and people have a tendency to, like, well, I want to make sure it gets there. No, make sure it rarely, if ever, hits 5.
All right, whatever I did, I turned my receive way down, too, so hold on.
All right, hold on. You're clean there. We may be able to fix it on the transmit side now.
All right, that is with RX voice level set to 50, transmit A and B set to 100, RX boost is off. I do have pre-emphasis and de-emphasis disabled.
All right, bring up RX. Where did you say RX was at? 100? Double it. Well, tell me where it was, but if it's like 100, double it. 50, 100, somewhere low like that, double it.
RX is at 50. I'm going to go to 100. All right, this is RX voice level at 100.
All right, all of a sudden, you're really low. I don't know if I had you turned down because of how loud you were. Is there somebody else on frequency can give me a reference?
WARCY. Dakota sounded better 2 previous transmissions ago. That's the way I'm hearing them.
All right, let me hear you again, Dakota.
All right, I think I figured it out, right? At least somewhat. RX is what you hear. Transmit A is what I hear. I don't know what transmit B is, but this is RX at 100.
Yeah, you sound low to me over the network right now. So you can run that one up again. Run that up to 200. But you set that one with the VU meter. You go to like setting 2. There's a VU meter. I forget which. Are you right? Well, no, wait a minute. I don't know which version of All-Star are you running. Do you have the meter set with VU meter?
Yeah, it's set RX voice level using display, but this is at 200. I can go back into it, too, and I guess I could just keep it in the meter and see where that lands.
I'd recommend you do it with the meter, and like I said, you know, try to get that bar graph bouncing, up in there. I think the markings are like 2 to 5 or 3 to 5. You want it to bounce in that 2 to 5 range, but not exceed that 5.
Okay, yeah, I can see where it's low. I'm going to bump it to like, I don't know, probably 300. And I think I'll be in the sweet spot, I hope, maybe 350. But I think what was screwing us is I had RX boost on, and I was skewing everything.
Absolutely. That's what RX boost is for. If you can't quite get there, you get up to 999 and you can't get there, you can turn on RX boost. But when you turn on RX boost, you got to go way down, then. So I'm sure that's what it was. So once you got that, then you can work on transmit level A, so that you can hear it. I'll give you a quick primer on how to get that set to your ear, but let's get the receive level to the network working.
I'm not sure what happened there, but the transmit just cut out. But I've been tweaking it in between transitions, so I think I got the transmit audio is pretty good. I don't know. Hopefully I'm coming in clean on the RX side. But that was weird. It just cut out again.
Well, have you checked that pin I told you? Look at the pins on that 16-pin VIP connector. They are notorious for pushing out as you're unplugging and plugging those connectors in. And if the transmit audio pin is pushed out a little bit, that would explain all the symptoms you've been having.
Do I just need to take that harness out, look from the inside, or do I need to look on the back side to make sure those wires are seated?
You can see it looking at the back side. The problem is that connector has like a plastic like deck coming off of one side, so you won't be able to see. You can only see the wire one side or the other, but you should be able to see one pushed out a little bit pretty easily. You just gotta be looking at it from the angle where you can see the wires going into the connector. One side you can see on, the other side you can't. It'll be quite obvious when you look at it. Don't unplug it to look at it, because you're trying to see if one of the pins has gotten pushed.
No, they look good. There's three pins, and they were all seated in those little plastic housings.
Okay, well, that would just explain the problems you've had up to this point. But let's go ahead and focus on if you're good and you think that you got the receive level set where you want it, you're locked down. You know, one of the problems we could have is we're trying to bat too many things at once. Let's just focus on getting that one knocked clamped down. And once you've got it, you know, then we can move on to the real quick to get the transmitter working.
Whoa. I'm happy with what it sounds like coming in. I just want to make sure it's clean going out. It was in the meter, so I don't know. It's set to 300. It was between the 3 and 5 kilohertz. So if you say it sounds good, we're gonna leave it.
Yeah, I think you're fine there. So, okay, so good. Let's lock that down, 300, make a note, or whatever. Now, on the transmit side, you've determined that it's A, right?
Correct. I've been tweaking it up and down. Actually, I've just been bringing it up because when I brought it down to 100, I could barely hear you. So that's 700 right now, and I think it sounds good to me. I just don't know, I'm right next to the thing, so I don't know what it sounds like when you're out and about.
Sounds like the pre-emphasis is on.
Okay, I'll tell you the cheap and dirty way. So you'll notice downfield a little bit, there's a turn on transmit keying tones. So you enable that. I think is it E? I'm not 100% sure, but you turn on transmit keying tones. Okay, then what you do is you go into set transmit level A, and then you hit it. You hit a value and you hit enter, then you'll hear it go. You'll hear it put out a solid tone on your transmitter. And you increase that until the next time you increase it, you don't hear a difference. And then I always back it down, from there, just, 50. So I just keep raising it in 50s until I didn't hear an increase, and then I back down 50. That's a cheap, dirty way to do it, but that'll get you there.
Toggle transmit test tone is what you said, and that radio cut out again. It does this weird thing where, like, mid-transmit, it'll start whining, and then I'll lose the audio, and then it'll stop whining, and then it works again. So I don't know if that's a thermal throttle or what.
What kind of power supply you got running that mouse? Is it sufficient?
Yeah, I mean, it should be more than enough. It's, 30 amp, and it's only, I'm looking right now, it's at 13.8 volts, pulling 4.9 amps on transmit.
All right, it shouldn't be that at all. So, that's something else we're going to have to troubleshoot and figure out. So that's a little bit more involved than we're already a little bit past, what we should be doing on a live system, but, that'll be some separate troubleshooting we'll have to do offline or something else.
Yep, and I'll work on the cooling too, see if I can get it a little bit more efficient. But, I mean, it's literally sitting on top of a fan blowing right into the heatsink. So I'm not sure what else I can do, but I'll experiment. But, yeah, I appreciate it. I think we're good for now. I'll keep playing with it this weekend, and I'll get some other people's opinions in the area and adjust accordingly.
Right. Now that you've got the levels kind of locked down, so you have kind of a brightness to your, you might want to try
pre-emphasis on, pre-emphasis off, and get some opinions from people which one might be better. You're a little bright right now. Again, it's very clear, very good fidelity and all that stuff, but you know, you might want to toggle that one on and off while you've got some people listening that can give you a critical ear. Nothing to do with these levels, which are critical. You know, this is more like now you get more into, you know, preference. Does it sound any better or worse now?
Better.
I thought so.
Yeah, I
guess
that I like that.
It's a little smoother. It's not as harsh. So I'm guessing you turned pre-emphasis off.
I like it. I wouldn't touch anything.
Totally agree. KF8 EFB. Well, there you go, Dakota. Yeah. With pre-emphasis, that's kind of a preference thing, and it does depend on the hardware you're using. Some require, some need it to not sound muddy. Some you turn it off so they don't sound bright. You know, I think your sweet spot with that particular setup is going to be off. So I would lock this all down. So right now I think you're pretty close. Before you do anything, make sure you do it right, and before you exit. So you got to write all this before you exit. And then you can come back and play with it later, but get it written right now.
The transmit cut out again, but I caught most of that. So I didn't change anything on the radio, and I've been writing as we've been making these changes, so this should be locked in. The 705 just sounds super, super processed, so I don't know if there's anything I can even adjust on that radio. This is my THD-75. And people have made comments before, not necessarily bad, like you said, about my audio over the air with the 705, but I've never said anything which radio I'm on, and I can, people make comments about the audio when I use the 705. I don't know what I sound like on it, but it's, I'm not surprised.
All right, well, several people have chimed in. Everybody seems, the consensus seems to be, and I don't disagree, that it sounds really good right now, as good as it's been. So I think you're good for now. We're going to have to keep an eye. I got to get out the door shortly, so I'm done with this for now. You know, but you're dialed in. We got to figure out why that transmitter is going, dropping. Keep an eye on the heat. I think we got that under control. So if there's something else going on, we're going to have to figure it out. All right, got to run. W8FU.
All right, appreciate it. Enjoy your dinner, and I'll talk to you later at 8DBF.
Connected to CMN Network.
KTMR at 8DBF.
This is KTMR. I'm on yours, and it's still getting that. It's still showing that it's transmitting on my end.
I don't get that. I'm looking at the dashboard right now. It's not transmitting. I've got two radios monitoring it. It's not transmitting. I mean, it is right now, obviously, but I don't know why yours would be. What's your skull set at?
I think I was set at 3. Let me double check.
I mean, I think that would probably be enough to not sit there open.
Yeah, it quiets down the buzz. It seems like it's getting interference from something.
It's got to be something in your house. I just cranked my volume on my other HD over here, and it's dead silent.
Yeah, let me try stepping outside, because I'm just on that TID handheld right now, and it was doing, and then I turned on the 878, and it's doing it also. So let me see if I step outside, if it's any better.
The other weird thing is
worth the
quality of
sound
quite thick
over here.
WATAP. It goes away. And then obviously when you key up, it turns red. So it leads me to believe something by you is pissing the radio off.
Yeah, you might be right. You had somebody else come in and double with you. I couldn't hear.
Is there another station you want to come back?
WATAP.
What's going on, Eric?
Can you hear me? My TV switch is doing something weird. You sound perfect over here. I don't know what interference he's talking about, but it's not over here.
So he's local to this node, so we're trying to figure out what he's hearing potentially. You're hearing over the network, so you're not getting any of the RF portion. Bill, are you still hearing that noise?
So the noise kind of stopped, but it's still, for some reason, it's still staying on my radio like it is transmitting.
So at this frequency, I have like a S3 noise. So is that what you're seeing? It looks like you're not getting any audio, but it looks like you're receiving audio.
Yeah. I'm gonna send. I just recorded it. I'm gonna text it to you and let you hear what I'm hearing.
Okay, sounds good. I gotta figure out why this radio, it's not muted anymore. I can, even with the volume all the way down, I can still hear the transmit.
Did you switch to your 705 or something?
Yeah, I was changing settings on it to see if I can make it not sound like crap.
What radio were you on, and can you switch back to it temporarily?
I was on my Kenwood HD, so this is the Kenwood.
I don't know, I think the Kenwood sounds a little bit better than the 705. Maybe it's just me.
No, I agree. I think that's the general census there.
So you're on your repeater linked into this. Okay.
Yeah, just a high-profile node trying to get some coverage out here, which I think it's going to work good. It's just going to be some fine-tuning.
KCHKJO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Are we having fun yet in the wind? Yeah, staying firmly inside
trying to figure out how to organize 2 terabytes worth of data. 2 terabytes, those are rookie numbers. Come to me when you have petabytes. He's saying I could just hand over my NAS and you'll figure it all out. I don't want to look at any of your feet pics. Yeah, our problem is, or my problem, I guess, is they got, like, triplicates of pictures and just, you know, yeah. Instead of dealing with it, I would just copy in a copy of the hard drive or whatever when I needed to back something up, and so I've got multiple copies of different things in different places and different layers, and one NAS that I just dumped onto the other, and an external hard drive that got dumped in there somewhere. I don't know. It's a mess. I kind of know that feeling. I would, you know, over the last little bit here, going, you know, grabbing hard drives from machines before I'd wipe them, I'd, you know, image them or pop the stuff. So I got multiple drives and have different, you know, things. And same thing with, I can find external hard drives and I'd, you know, ID it and put a serial number and copy it and then do the same thing for unknown thumb drives. And so there's a whole, you know, I know there's duplicates in there. So many duplicates. There's a tool, I don't remember the name of it. I've been using it on my work stuff because I was finding, you know, portable hard drives over here, things in different network shares, and trying to do deduplication to find, when I get to a computer, I'll see if I can remember the name of the tool that I was using. I found, it's called Duke Guru. I tried using that. I'm just, it's like, it just goes down to the individual file or whatever. It's just like, I kind of want to just, you know, just figure out what folders are the same. What folders can I just drop off? And, yeah, just not the best. And looks like in the Synology, there's a little tool for looking at the storage analyzer, and it's got a little duplicate finder on there too. But yeah, I know a lot of the stuff. I got like one my backup of my Windows install, taking up almost a terabyte, and it's only a I think it was a 500 gig hard drive. So the thing's just got multiple copies in there, and yeah, there's a couple of virtual hard drives in there that, you know, duplicated, you know, for each time stamp, you know, 5-6 times. Yeah, the tool I can't remember the name of it, it's a weird name. It would actually generate hashes for the files so that, you know, to compare them and such, so that, and it would give you reports, you could, you know, I was running it on one of my media, I tested it with one of my media shares, and, you know, it was finding multiple copies of things, not just by, it wasn't just going by file name, it was actually hashing it out, and applying that logic, and then, you know, it would show you what you found so that you could then look at it and inspect it and make a decision.
Yeah, I think Duke Guru will do the same thing. It'll even look for if you've got like pictures that are named differently but have the same content, it'll find that kind of deal, but it just gets overwhelming when you've got so many of them. It's hard to... it's like it'll show you, okay, these two files match. It's like, okay, yeah, but I've got that whole folder in there that, you know, but which one's the most up-to-date that I really should keep, you know?
Correct.
and I've got half, you know, 3/4 of a petabyte of raw storage. So about half a petabyte of protected storage that is just my, that's personal storage, not work storage. I have more storage for work, for personal than I do work. But, you know, you're right. I pick in one root folder to check, and, you know, I spend a day or so on it, and I cleaned up some dupes, but not many. I mean, it was just more of me to see about the software. But I, for grins and giggles, pointed it at, you know, one of the generic, they used to have, and they still use it, like, before I came on, everything was in current week. Okay, well, current week is, so the share is so, you know, not just what's current, but, like, they're still working out of it. It's not been, so, like, I pointed it at that, and 3/4 of it is all dupe, and it's a couple hundred gig. You know, 1.5 terabytes, I want to say, I could save by going through and deduping it, and getting people, after I dedupe it, then sorting it into where it's supposed to go. Yeah, that's part of the problem here. I just got so many duplicates, and my 3-2-1 right now is probably a 1-1-0. And the only advantage is my NAS is rated, but I don't even think I have them on the local machine as far as copies of it, and nothing off-site, which I'd like to get stuff in the cloud and get it off-site, but I also don't want to be storing 2 terabytes of duplicate files.
Well, luckily I've got probably 7 or 8 terabyte of what I call my critical, that follows the 3-2-1 rule. It's under 10, I know that. And I think it follows my 3-2-1. But other stuff is not in 3-2-1. It's stuff like if it lost, it sucked, but it's not, you know, it's replaceable, if that makes sense. But there's some tree branches in the subdivision here.
Yeah, that's what I really care about, pictures, especially the kids and whatnot. The other thing is I got a bunch of stuff that's from the ex-wife that I'm not sure what I want to do with, and how much of that is just don't care anymore, or how much do I, is there stuff that I do want out of it?
RMTACRF, there you go. I'll handle it.
Yeah, I know she's got some pictures of kids and stuff that I would want, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know, not the kid stuff, but it's the wife, ex-wife, I mean, you know.
Yep, that's all stuff that I'll have to be going through.
Exactly. Well, my trash can is not up along the garage like it's supposed to be. It's where I park, so I need to get out and move the trash can so I can put my truck where it needs to go, so that Michelle can park where she needs to park, so. Alright. So be this.
I'll figure out where mine ended up in the morning. Here we go.
Connected to CMN Network.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Radio check. KEAFLY. Kilo Echo 8. Foxtrot Lima Yankee. Radio check. Kilo Echo 8. Foxtrot Lima Yankee. Radio check.